Have you ever wondered, like, I don't know, like our obsession with health and wellness and all that, what if it's like masking something kind of darker?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So today we're going to dive into something that's, well, kind of unsettling, honestly. We're going to be looking at the link between intermittent fasting and economic disparity.
Wow.
Yeah. And we've got excerpts from this article. It's called The Capitalist Parasite: How Intermittent Fasting Masks the Real Issue of Economic Deprivation.
Oh, okay.
And full disclosure, it's a bit, it's provocative to say the least, but it really makes you think about things in a new way.
Yeah, I mean, the title alone is pretty eye-catching. So,
Okay.
like, what's the main argument they're making?
So the author, who is actually a medical doctor, which I think is super
Oh,
interesting,
wow, okay.
because they're seeing these trends play out, not just in like research and data, but also in their patients' lives.
Yeah, that's a really unique perspective.
Totally. So they're basically questioning this assumption that intermittent fasting is always a free choice, you know?
Okay, I see where you're going with
Yeah,
it.
is it always about health? Or could it sometimes be a sign of something else going on, like economically?
Interesting. So, for those of us who aren't like totally up on all the latest health trends, can you give us a quick like intermittent fasting 101?
Totally.
What is it and why has it become so popular?
Yeah, so basically, intermittent fasting, or IF, as the cool kids call it. It's basically all about like cycling between when you eat and when you don't eat.
Okay.
So you might have like certain hours of the day where you eat normally and then
Uh-huh.
you fast for a longer period. And there are like different ways to do it. Some people fast for like a whole day or even longer, and others just have a specific window of time when they eat each day.
Right, like that whole 16-8 thing I've heard about, right?
Exactly. 16-8, that's a super popular one. And I mean, people are all about it because there are all these potential benefits, right? Weight loss, better metabolism. People even say they have more energy, better focus, all that jazz.
Yeah, I've definitely heard that.
But here's the thing.
Okay.
Where does this whole economic deprivation part fit in? Like, it seems like kind of a jump to go from trendy diet to like serious social issue.
I know, right? At first glance, those two things seem totally unrelated. So
Right.
how are they connected?
Well, and that's what I think is so interesting about this article. They're not saying that IF is like inherently bad or anything.
Okay.
They're just saying that it's not always this purely health-driven choice that we often make it out to be.
Interesting.
The doctor writing this piece is basically saying that for some people, it's not a choice at all. They're doing it because they have to.
They have to. What do you mean?
Like, they literally can't afford to eat any other way.
Wow.
Yeah, and the article talks about how, you know, things like the rising cost of food, stagnant wages, all of that,
Yeah.
it's putting this insane amount of pressure on people, like individuals, families, everyone is feeling the squeeze.
Absolutely.
And so for some people, skipping meals, even if they know it's not the best thing for them, it's like the only option they have left.
That's really sad.
It
Yeah.
is really sad. And it's something that honestly, I think a lot of us don't realize is happening. And what the article goes on to say, and this is where it gets really interesting, is that this whole thing, this whole IF trend,
Yeah.
even with the legitimate health benefits, it could actually be a symptom of a much bigger problem:
Like what?
economic inequality.
Wow. Okay, so connect those dots for me because I mean, yeah, we've seen this huge surge in IF's popularity
Huge.
and we know that the gap between the rich and the poor is, you know, it's growing all the time, but is that just a coincidence or is there something more to it?
Right, exactly. And that's what we're going to dig into. It's kind of wild when you think about it, right?
Yeah.
Like, on the one hand, you've got all these people struggling to just afford basic stuff. And then on the other hand, you've got this trendy diet that's all about like not eating. It makes you wonder.
It really does. And you know what? That actually ties into this whole thing about a narrative shift that the article talks about.
Oh,
I thought it
right.
was a really interesting point. So basically, they're saying that we used to think about skipping meals in a totally different way.
Like it was a bad thing.
Yeah. Like it was the sign of hardship or something, you know, something people would be embarrassed about, like they weren't doing well. But now,
It's like, oh, you're so disciplined.
exactly. Like it's this marker of like how much you're in control or something, you know?
It's like this weird status symbol almost.
Totally. Like, you must be rich and have all this time to think about this stuff.
Because only those people can afford the fancy health books and all the supplements.
Right. And the article talks about how this plays out, like, in real life. Like, think about how they always market IF. It's all like those super fit people in those glossy ads or celebrities talking about how they do it.
Yeah.
It's like they're trying to sell it as this aspirational thing rather than, like you said, a coping mechanism for a lot of people.
And that's what's messed up, right?
Yeah.
Because when it becomes all about aspiration and like personal choice,
Yeah.
we stop seeing the people who are just trying to get by. We forget about them.
And even worse, it leads to this whole self-blame thing.
Oh, right. The article talked about that too.
Yeah, it's like people start blaming themselves for not being able to afford enough food.
Instead of like questioning the system that's putting them in that position in the first place.
Exactly. It's easier to blame yourself than to think, wait a minute, this system is messed up.
Totally. And that just lets the system off the hook, right?
Completely. And it makes it so much harder to actually change anything. Because if everyone's busy blaming themselves, they're not going to band together and fight for what they deserve.
And that's why this statistic from the article just like blew my mind.
Yeah.
It said that 72% of adults feel stressed about money at least some of the time.
Seriously.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
And when you think about how bad stress is for you, like heart disease, diabetes, your mental health,
Yeah, it's not good.
it just shows how connected all of this really is. You know, we like to think of these things as separate, like health is one thing and the economy is another.
They're not.
Not even close. They're totally intertwined. And what I think is so brilliant about this article is that it shows how something that's supposed to be empowering, like taking control of your health,
Yeah.
can actually end up masking these deeper inequalities that are happening.
Yeah, it's like putting a band-aid on a broken leg. It might look like you're doing something, but you're not really addressing the root of the problem.
So it's like, it's not about saying IF is, you know, inherently bad or anything like that.
Right.
It's more about like taking a step back and looking at the bigger picture, you know.
Yeah, and asking some tougher questions about, like, why are things the way they are? You know, what's really driving our choices?
Totally.
Yeah.
And I will be honest, like going through all of this for this deep dive has really made me rethink a lot of things, not just about IF, but just like all these wellness trends that are everywhere these days.
No,
Like
absolutely.
we're constantly told to optimize this and hack that, and it's all about like this never-ending pursuit of a better, healthier life.
Yeah.
But what if, and it's just me thinking out loud here, but what if that whole message is actually like part of the problem?
What do you mean?
Like, what if it's just distracting us from the fact that the system itself is like designed to keep us feeling insecure and inadequate?
Ooh, I see what you're saying.
You know, always striving for something more.
Right, because then we're not focusing on the things that actually matter, like the systemic issues that are causing all these problems in the first place.
Exactly. It's like, who benefits from all of this, you know?
Yeah.
Who profits when we're so busy trying to fix ourselves that we don't have time to question the rules of the game?
It's a really important question to ask, and honestly, I don't think there are any easy answers.
Yeah, it's kind of overwhelming when you really start to think about it.
It is, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't try.
So, like, what can we even do about it? I mean, this all feels very like big picture.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Like, I want to do something, but I also don't want to just feel helpless, you know?
Right, of
Well,
course.
where do we even start?
Well, I think awareness is huge, right? Like just starting to notice these connections between things like economic inequality, the messages we're bombarded with every day, and even, like you said, these health trends that we often just accept without question.
Okay, so being more mindful, more critical of the things we see and hear,
Exactly.
and like not just accepting things at face value.
Exactly. Like, question everything. Who's saying this? Why are they saying it? And who benefits?
So like being wary of those like super glossy ads and marketing campaigns that are trying to sell us this idea of like the perfect life through whatever product or lifestyle they're peddling.
Yeah, and it's not just about being a skeptical consumer, although that's important too.
Right.
It's also about, like, putting our money where our mouths are, you know? Like supporting organizations that are actually out there on the ground fighting for food justice, economic justice, all of that.
Totally. And talking to people,
Yeah.
right? Like
Yeah.
starting these conversations in our own communities with our families and friends.
Exactly. Because change doesn't happen in a vacuum, you know? It happens when we connect with each other, when we share our stories, and when we demand better.
Demand better for everyone.
Absolutely. And that includes demanding better from our elected officials, you know? Holding them accountable for creating policies that support everyone, not just those at the top.
So it's about recognizing that, like, health isn't just this individual thing, right?
Yeah.
It's all connected to these bigger social issues.
Not in a person.
And we can't just ignore those connections.
And we don't have to.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, we have more power than we think we do, but we have to be willing to use it.
I love that.
And I think ultimately that's what this whole conversation comes down to, right? Like, yeah, this deep dive started with intermittent fasting, but it's really about so much more than that.
It's about understanding how the world really works and then doing something about it.
Exactly. It's about reclaiming our agency, demanding better for ourselves and for each other, and creating a future where everyone has the opportunity to thrive.
Not just survive, but thrive.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay.
I know, right? It's a lot.
It is a lot, but it's also, like, really inspiring in a way.
I think so, too.
Like, it's a call to action.
It is, 100%.
Well, on that note, I think we're going to have to wrap it up there for today.
Okay.
But this conversation, it's not over, right? Like, this is just the beginning.
Absolutely. This is just, like, food for thought, right?
Literally.
Exactly. And I hope it's got everyone out there thinking, questioning, and most importantly, ready to take action.
Yes. To a healthier and more just future for everyone.
Future here.
That's it for this deep dive. Until next time, keep learning, keep questioning, and keep pushing for a better world.
See you next time.